This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode 3 of Equal Agenda.
Wait, three.
What are we? Six. Kia ora, everybody. Welcome to episode 6 of Equal Agenda. I'm Hazel.
I'm Martina.
And I'm Jamina. If we were filming it, you would know that I'm wearing my NSYNC shirt today, which is pretty on brand with the episode, because today's episode, we are talking about how women always feel the need to prove ourselves, largely because our interests aren't taken seriously regardless of what it is. In fact, so much so that while I was planning this episode, I found myself falling victim to the exact thing we're talking about. Despite my passion, I started second-guessing everything, and I was like, maybe this is a trivial topic. No, but it's not. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Most of the time, females feel like we have to prove our fandom, no matter what that space is. For me, this happens most in male-dominated spaces. One of them is F1, which I had gotten into recently. And so this is like one of the first sports I've actually started following properly, right? I'm not really much of a sports girl. I was never that physically active either. But F1, like, my sister got into it and I was like, okay, hey, this is actually really cool. I think it's so fun, like, rooting for the drivers and, like, kind of the whole thing about, like, seeing them as kids and then growing up, like, getting to the feeder series. And now they're, like, in one of the most expensive sports in the world. It's, like, insane to me. And I'm going to say this right off the bat. I think it's okay to find the drivers hot.
That's actually so fair enough, because with the new F1 movie coming out with, well, that did come out with Brad Pitt, there's a poster in my boyfriend's room that I look at and I'm like, oh my God, he's so hot. Maybe I want to go watch the movie. I don't even care about F1, but I want to go watch the movie because there's a very good looking guy portraying the sport.
The problem lies in when men especially start being like, oh, you're only watching it because the drivers are hot. One, there are so many women who do not even see it that way. And it's like, yeah, I feel so bad whenever someone's really excited to talk about their love for the sport. And then people are like, oh, it's just because you think the drivers are hot. And two, there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, we can watch things for more than one reason.
Yeah. I don't think we should be policing how people want to enjoy something. People don't do that nearly as much to men. I mean, a lot of them will watch something just because they think the person in it's hot. I got into F1 shortly before the F1 movie came out, and I wasn't going to watch it at first because, like, so many people were like, oh, it's not accurate. Even the drivers themselves were like, it's not very accurate to, like, the real racing, which, like, I get. So I was kind of like, oh, well, I kind of feel like if it's bad, then I don't want to go to sit through, like, 2 hours of that. But then I actually did end up watching it with my friend, and it was really fun. I think when you watch it without thinking like, oh, this has to be exactly accurate, it was an absolute spectacle. If they did what they did in the F1 movie in real life, F1 fans, this one's for you. This is like if Crashgate was every race. Brad Pitt was cheating the whole time.
Oh, really?
But the drivers are also there. And okay, so the thing is, the F1 movie was a great gateway for a lot of people to start getting into F1 because they're interested, right? Like the spectacle that the movie had created, they were like, oh, well, this looks really fun. I'm interested. And this feels part of like this new kind of era of marketing that F1 has taken. We have like the Netflix show Drive to Survive, if you guys have seen that one going around, where it's very dramatized. I personally do not watch Drive to Survive because it creates storylines and I'm like, I feel like this is like, I just want to watch the races and not be like, oh wow, Max Verstappen the villain, you know? But that kind of drama that they create has pulled a lot of people in. A lot of which are women who wanted to, like, see the narratives. Because, honestly, the narratives in F1 lore is crazy. But it's created this kind of hostility within the community, I've noticed, where a lot of the time, a woman will be just talking in an F1 space, giving an opinion. And then here comes a man being like, oh, spotted the Drive to Survive watcher. It's okay to be watching through Drive to Survive. I struggle to keep up with every race. You don't have to.
I think it's just a lot of pressure of, like, if you're into a sport, you need to be into the sport. Like, that's all you got to do. Like, there's no in-between where you can watch it just because you're interested or like, oh, I like F1, let me just watch a couple of races, or, oh, my favorite race is going, I'm just going to watch for them. Why do we have to put in all this hard work and have to prove to males specifically that we are interested and that we love the sport? Why can't we just watch a little bit and because we want to watch it?
Well, it just feels like we're not allowed to simply just like something. We either have to be, like you said, on one side or the other, like absolute diehard fan, like know every single fact and ready to be questioned on any single fact, or know nothing about it. It's, we can't be middle ground.
Oh God, exactly, exactly. And in another interest of mine that's really big with like a mainly male fan base, comics. I've been a big fan of like DC Comics in particular. I got really into it in high school, but it was so scary because I was like 16, you know, I was starting to become more aware of like our position as women. You know, I was just like this girl and I was like getting into these comics. I had like my lovely English teacher and she had like let me borrow her beautiful comic collection. And I was like reading through this and I was just like having so much fun. But then I started going into the online spaces and it's like, and mind you, it wasn't just male like fans doing this, but regardless of who's doing it, it's usually the women who are more so the target. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would go into just like very gatekeepy spaces where I would see people having such long arguments about how a character is portrayed, which I totally understand. I always have my grievances about how my favorite characters are portrayed, of course, but it kind of becomes less about like the writing and more about like, oh, you need to prove yourself as a fan. Have you read all of these comics? And it's like a lot of these characters have been around since like the 1940s.
Yeah.
You cannot possibly read everything.
And it's not like you are going to go up to them being like, okay, well, tell me the answers. Tell me everything. Have you read that? They're not going to know the answers because, as you said, it's, what, almost 80 years worth of media that need to be looked through and invested your time in. Unless that's your career and that's something that you spend 24/7 doing, there's no way the average person is going to know all that. So why are you putting the expectation on us?
Yeah, and you don't have to read all of them to be a fan. That's the
exactly.
thing.
It just cycles back to the fact that interests are supposed to be fun and you can invest as much time as you'd like and it shouldn't change the fact that you are a fan.
We shouldn't get tested on our hobbies. When you are investing time into this hobby, there's also that pressure like, I need to remember this in case I get asked about it, or I need to know this because some man is going to question how much of a fan I am on it. So then I feel like having this hobby actually becomes an anxious thing.
Precisely, precisely. That's actually what, that's part of what burnt me out of it in the first place. Like, I'd gotten really exhausted, like, at like 16, 17, I was like, oh, well, I have to prove myself as a real fan. Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, people should stop portraying Tim Drake as a coffee addict. I love when people take things so seriously, and I understand being so passionate about your interest, or you're like, you hate when it's like, gotten wrong, but then it's like you have to also realize there's, in the general public, there's no wrong way to enjoy things. And it's taken me a lot to like get to this place, but I'm finally okay with the fact that, you know, some people will enjoy DC media, not necessarily in the comics. Like, some people watch like the TV shows, the animated movies, the live action. Since the new Superman was great, absolutely excited for the rest of the DCU to come. And you know, like, it's okay. You can keep up with whatever is the most, like, enjoyable for you. I think that's the bottom line. My For You page has turned, like, has just been full of Booster Gold, who is, like, a kind of slightly lesser known hero. And, like, that's part of, like, his kind of lore. But there was, like, an edit of him that went really popular. And it was like, I'm not Green Lantern. I'm Booster Gold. Gold. Always believe. But, yeah, anyway, people have been doing so many of those edits. And it's, like, given him a boost in popularity. But then you always have these men in the comments being like, oh, I bet half of these people don't even know who Booster Gold is. And it's like, and I do think this is like a particularly woman targeted one as well, because in my experience, most of these kind of like cute little edits are made by women. You guys are just always going to come for how women specifically enjoy things. And I think we need to talk about that.
I feel like we also have to talk about, if it's a male-dominated sport or interest or hobby, then women don't understand it either, or don't get it to the extent that a man would. I feel like there's that whole other side of it as well that includes that. I have an example of when I was watching, I think it was an All Blacks game. It was with my boyfriend at the time, and then he asked me, do you understand what's going on? I think that's really interesting because, you know, we live in New Zealand and rugby is part of our culture. It's what everyone else knows us as a country, I would argue. I grew up with 8 boy cousins and, like, all my uncles were, like, divorced. Like, of course I was forced to sit and watch rugby as a child from, like, 5 years old. Like, of course I know what's going on. I know it's not as deep, but I still think it really shows that we're just assumed not to know or not to understand when it's a male-dominated interest or hobby. So when he asked me if I knew what, like, a try or a conversion was, it wasn't really about the rugby at all. It was questioning me because of my gender, you know, because I was a woman. and no one would ever turn to a boy in this country and ask him the same thing. Can you imagine a flat of boys sitting down watching the rugby? Do you ever imagine that one of them would turn to another one and be like, do you know what's going on? Of course not.
It's even those little things. It's the fact that it's so normal for us to be treated this way and to just say it like that, no big deal. Like, oh, do you know? Like,
yeah. And that moment, as small as it like may seem, it made me realize how often women are underestimated in spaces that are seen as males. You know, it was offensive because it didn't just doubt whether I knew the rules of the game. It doubted like whether I was allowed to watch the game or allowed to understand the game or allowed to have an opinion on this game. You know, and it's whether it's sports or work or everyday knowledge, we're constantly asked to justify ourselves in ways that men aren't.
I think it's interesting that we've gone and talked about how we feel in like having interests in like male dominated spaces. But on the flip side, even when we're into things that are usually associated with women or like quote unquote girly things, we still get made fun of.
I feel that to my core. For me, I'm a really, really big Swiftie. So being a Swiftie comes with a lot of negative repercussions of having to obtain all this information and know everything about her and being part of the fandom, and you have to be fully involved.
Jemina actually sent in a tweet to the group chat and it says, whenever you mention you like Taylor Swift around guys, they become the most belittling, arrogant, condescending people you've ever seen. And I think that's so funny.
It's so true. It's actually hysterical how true it is. Like, that's what makes it funny.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me of a TikTok that I saw of this girl that was at the Super Bowl stadium, like watching the game with her partner. And she's like scanning across the room and then it like points down and there's just a little confetti on the floor. And then she cuts the video to her in the same stadium at the Eras Tour, like celebrating with her girlfriends. The comments were flooded with men being like, can you not just appreciate the game? Like, the Super Bowl is way bigger than Taylor Swift ever will be. The Super Bowl is this huge thing.
This has got nothing to do with Taylor Swift.
And she was just like, what are you guys hating on me on? I just was in the same stadium and I saw confetti on the floor, made me think of a time a year ago.
She was reflecting on the moment.
Let it go. It's not that deep. And just because she was having such a good time, even she's at the game, she is supporting the thing that you guys are rooting for. She's supporting the football game with her partner while also having a fandom and being a Swiftie.
It's like you can't be both. Is that not what literally the comments are saying?
Troy Bolton.
Yeah, be a Troy Bolton. You get judged so hard when you are invested in something, whether that is a woman's hobby, whether that's a male hobby, or whether it's both. Either way, you're getting judged for liking something regardless of what that thing actually is.
When men see you reinforcing something that shows that you are a woman and that you're interested in woman things, they just like to remind you that they don't like you.
They just love to see, like, quote-unquote, woman interests as, like, something so little because they're like, oh, yeah, look at that girl doing girly things.
Yeah.
That's literally how I talk about Taylor Swift.
They like to remind you that they don't respect you as a gender. They don't respect your interests and they don't respect you reinforcing anything that's got to do with a woman, but then taking it back when you want to show interest in more male-dominated hobbies. Well, we're not allowed to do that either.
Yeah, because then it suddenly is like, oh, it's so unnatural for a woman to like these things that I, as a man, like.
It's very belittling. Like, you feel like the smallest person ever to be like, oh, maybe I got it wrong, or like, maybe I don't know everything. So then you either have to try and prove it and work hard and devote all your time into it, or you take a complete step back and you just let go of the hobby and the interest because you're getting judged for it.
Yeah, and well, because when my boyfriend at the time asked me, do you know how like a rugby game works? Like, do you know the score point system? I was like, yeah. And then I was thinking, oh my God, wait, is it a try that's 5 and a conversion that's 2, or is it the other way around? Like, I got stressed. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm not valid to be sitting here watching this. And that's so stupid because I'm supporting my country. I have every right as a New Zealander to be sitting here and supporting them.
They're not like technically being like, oh, you can't like this, but it's like, it feels that way. And it's just going to take the fun out of it. I've felt that way about like comics. I basically just stopped like keeping up because at this point I'm like, well, I don't have anything to prove to anyone anymore. It's like, it takes so much fun out of it when these hobbies are supposed to be fun and fulfilling. It's supposed to add to your enjoyment. It's not supposed to feel like a job.
Yeah. Yeah, and that reminds me of, I feel like I can speak on behalf of a lot of women, is when you join a new gym, how scary that feels and how it feels like you don't belong there and you feel inferior to every man that's in that room. So I've probably joined new gyms like 3 times in my lifetime, and every single time I've joined a new gym, I have felt stressed and I feel like I immediately start on the treadmill because that takes up the least amount of space, right?
Mm.
You know, and then I feel like as you spend more time there, you get less stressed. But then you always have people walking around giving you unsolicited advice, which, funny story, I was at Jets in Whakatane last week and there was this real big buff guy going around giving all like the lanky boys like unsolicited advice, and I was standing there and I was waiting for my turn. I was waiting for my turn. I was like, what am I doing? Like, I was doing tricep pushdowns, and so that was the most best form I have ever put on in my life because I was so stressed. I was like, I really don't want to have this conversation. It's awkward. And he never came to me. And I think that's a win for women.
Done for women.
So either my tricep pushdowns had great correct form, or he knew not to go to women and he was just giving it to the men because for some reason he must have felt like he could give unsolicited advice to the males in the room but not the females. I don't know what was up with that, but it was a win for women that day.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually crazy. But yeah, no, that's like, it really just comes to show, like, we feel like we have to like really perform.
Yeah.
You get that performance anxiety because you're like, oh, God forbid.
That also reminds me of another story. My friend, she goes to Les Mills in Te Rapa, and she says the whole gym experience there and the gym culture is just like Tinder, but in real life. So she says all the boys are like, mating season, let's go. like they're trying to find a wife at the gym. When she mentioned that, I was kind of like, oh, that's funny. And then I had to think about it. And I was like, well, maybe that even plays into men at this gym. They don't see women there for the reason that they're being there. They don't think that women are there to grow muscle or lose body fat or whatever. They're seeing them as
a future wife.
They're
ready to buzz down.
They don't respect that women want to grind too. No one interrupts you when you do your workout. You'd be pissed off if you were in between reps and some girl came up to you and was like, hey, what you doing? But men feel the need that they have to do that, and you could almost say that it's a disrespect because a gym is a man's thing and any woman there is just potential mating.
It's like they think that, like, the woman is going to the gym not for her own, like, gym grind, but to, like, just impress a man, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, when you wear band shirts? I only really buy band shirts if it's a band that I do listen to be fair. But whenever I do, I often have, like, right now I'm wearing my NSYNC shirt. In my head, I would have a conversation with myself that's like, oh, you like NSYNC? Name, like, your 5 top songs. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to name the 5 songs that aren't, like, what everyone knows. And it's like, why do I have to do that?
Yeah.
It's so strange.
Yeah.
That's like my story with wearing a Rolling Stones t-shirt and my boyfriend being like, name 5 songs. And I'm like, couldn't tell you, babe. The Beatles. That's all I can tell you, babe. That's all I can tell you. And they're not even in the same decade, apparently.
Yeah, I actually knew that one.
I didn't know that.
That might be on you.
There was like a little rivalry for a time, but
so they knew each other. There we go.
Yeah.
See, I've but
you were there.
It's just a cool shirt. Why can I not just wear a cool band shirt?
Yeah, and I would argue in like 2018, the only t-shirt that you could buy at Cotton On was a band shirt.
Oh, yes.
So we didn't actually have much choice.
Oh my, dude. Oh my,
the graphic tees.
Oh my, Cotton On band shirts, that was a great time for me personally. I love Vans, but it's like, you know, it's like, you don't, you can just like the shirts. There are some really cool logos there. And, you know, on that note, I think it's also really interesting that like boy bands are considered like a condescending term for male artists. I watched like a boy band documentary. Boy band members were talking about how they were like, oh, cool, we're a boy band. But then they found out it was like considered a derogatory term. And you think about it, like there's only very few boy bands have ever like won like Grammys. Boys to Men, for example, who have like, they're seen as having surpassed the boy band title because they've just gotten like so famous in like a whole different genre entirely. And I think it's interesting that because boy bands are primarily marketed towards like young girls, they're seen as like lesser artists because, oh, because your fan base is like young girls and they're catering to that audience. Yeah. When arguably like young women are very much the people who tend to shape pop culture because of how invested they get and like how much like they spend on like merch and stuff. It's crazy to belittle these people. And it's like the effect it has as well. Like 5 Seconds of Summer was known, like they wanted to be like a kind of more like classic band, but then they got put into the boy band because they were like hanging out with One Direction a lot, touring with them, and they didn't like that. So they had like done this whole thing, and they did this infamous Rolling Stone interview where they basically like just kind of acting like very like classic rock and roll, trying to deter their female audience, basically. Yeah. It worked. Like, so many people got so mad at them. And it's like, to my knowledge, they've chilled out now, but it's very much like the way these men will like act out on purpose against women because they don't want to be seen as belittled because they're catering to women. Like, isn't that just sad?
That raises a very good point. And then it also brings in, once these male boy bands have established a female dominated audience, all of a sudden you will not catch a man listening to them.
Yeah.
Like, boys, now all of a sudden men are not allowed to like something that's female dominated as well. So they also get shunned. 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even now, you sit with any boy in the car and they won't have One Direction on their playlist. Why? Because it's a female dominated boy band interest.
And the only reason if they do is because they've had a female like show them the world of the music or like invite them into this fandom. Reason why most males won't listen to them because they don't want to be associated with the girly idea of the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you would argue that your boyfriend's just secure enough to listen to a woman-liked thing now.
Yeah.
Like, he's been allowed.
He's been allowed to. I've opened this door for him where society would have been like, hey, why are you listening to her?
Boys, men, boys, men. It's okay to be a fanboy. Seriously. People didn't respect the Beatles at the time because they had mostly like crazy female audience. And now, like, with time, like, people are like, oh, they're like the greatest band of all time. Like, guys, just take people seriously. It feels like whenever we as women have interests, we have to like, we have this performance anxiety to like prove ourselves to be like worthy of having that interest. And it's just exhausting. It's so exhausting and it's annoying.
We can't win. We're hated on if we have male interests and we're hated on if we have female interests.
It almost feels like we always have to take these calculated steps towards being interested in something because we know eventually people are going to be asking us questions. We know we're going to be interrogated. So we have to think about our hobbies and either completely love them or completely hate them. There's no in between.
We spend most of this episode kind of just like, you know, talking about our experiences. But I think it's valid to have these conversations because I know a lot of people feel this way. And it's like, it's normal to be mad about it because like we shouldn't be treated this way.
Do you guys remember when we recorded our first episode a million Wednesdays ago? And I had planned right after I was recording that episode to sign up to a new gym. And then, so after we recorded our episode, I walked away. I felt really empowered. I was like, wow, what beautiful girls, what beautiful work that we just did. I'm feeling strong as a woman. And I walk into this gym, I sign up, and then I'm like, this is scary because, you know, I feel inferior being in a gym. There was no woman in the gym at that time that I was signing up and I was going. And then I went onto the treadmill because I was like, right, this is where I can just like do my thing for a little bit while I like work up the courage to like go to like the strength training area. And then I was thinking, no, actually, stuff this. So I got off the treadmill after like 5 minutes and I moved into the strength training area and started strength training. And I was so proud of myself. It would be contradictive to film an hour-long podcast about how we need to be strong as women and fight for our rights and fight for the space that we truly deserve. And then to sign up for a gym and then just walk on the treadmill for an hour because I'm too scared. So that was my win moment, I think.
You got 2 wins for women from Hazel today.
Woo! I'm just single-handedly beating gender inequality over here.
End of the patriarchy.
To reel it in, it's bare minimum for women to enjoy our interests without anyone making us feel invalidated.
It's not a point of men letting us, because that's creating a discourse that men still have ownership or power over us, but it's just simply bare minimum.
We will enjoy things.
We want to thank you all so much for listening to our podcast episode today, and we can't wait to see you guys next week.
Bye, bye, bye.
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 This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.